From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned now for a message from the Word of God, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns. As he continues this series on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message entitled, The Spirit of Promise. Although it is true that the Spirit empowered individuals in the Old Testament, the real fullness of the Spirit had to wait until Christ had finished His work on the cross, had ascended, and was glorified. This work of the Holy Spirit is the distinctive mark of the New Testament Church. As Dr. Cairns will show from the Scriptures, Christ is the source of this fullness of the Spirit, for it is the Spirit's work to apply Christ to believers so that they may live and serve with power. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in just a few minutes. First, here's the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reporting that New Zealanders have voted to bring back spanking.
So New Zealanders have voted to bring back spanking. 2 years ago, the people of New Zealand voted to become the first nation in the world to make it illegal to hit children. Back then it was a controversial decision, and one which they have now decided to repeal. Early indications in the referendum suggested that at least 80% of New Zealanders were now in favour of doing away with the legislation which banned parents from using force to discipline their children. I suppose it should be noted that the law was initially introduced to deal with worrying child cruelty figures in New Zealand. In 2006, twin three-month-old boys were beaten to death by a family member. That tragedy led to what has been described as an agonized bout of national soul-searching. And then around the same time, the country was placed third out of 27 countries for child deaths. So the ban was introduced, but it was unpopular then and has remained unpopular ever since. Of course, the issue of discipline of children is an ongoing issue in many countries. And very often the questions are raised, do parents have the right to smack their children? Should discipline include physical punishment? Are there not better ways to train children and teach them right from wrong? And those are the kind of questions that very often come up when this debate is raised. There's some things we need to keep in mind here. Firstly, children need to be disciplined and punished at times. Children do go wrong. They disobey their parents. They sin against the Lord. Their sinful nature, inherited from Adam, results in sinful actions, and therefore they need to be chastised. It does not serve them well when parents either laugh at their sin or ignore it. We've all seen that. A child does something wrong, something openly and repeatedly disobedient to its parents, and adults either make a joke of it or they simply ignore it. What does that teach the child? But that disobedience is funny and okay, and those are disastrous lessons for a young person to be taught. Furthermore, God Himself is best qualified in giving direction on the instruction and discipline of children. Psalm 127 reminds us that children are a gift from God, and moreover, He knows what is in the heart of a child. He created the child. He therefore knows what a child needs. This is important in a day of child experts. Man thinks he knows best. He imagines he has all the answers. He feels himself to be the supreme guide in all the affairs of life. But God's knowledge is infinitely greater than man's. And that includes His knowledge of how to bring up children. Flowing from that, we need to remember that God does instruct parents to chastise their children, and to do so in a solemn and serious way. Take the words of Proverbs 13 and 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23 verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Obviously, the emphasis here is on the need for children to be chastised with the rod. This is not advocating child abuse, or child cruelty, or child battering. Those texts are speaking of reasonable discipline being administered in a fair, measured, and loving way for the benefit of the child. We ought to remember also that failure to discipline our children is a sin against the Lord. We are all too familiar with ill-disciplined children, children allowed to act as they please and defy God and men. Such parental failure is a sin against the Lord. Remember Eli? He failed to restrain his sons in their sin. He honored them before God, and awful consequences followed. Children need a disciplined life, need to be corrected when they go wrong, and God's word must be honored at all times, or the consequences are too dire to contemplate. Families will be in turmoil, society will suffer, the young person will be abandoned to his or her own way, and God is grieved and sinned against. The New Zealanders have taken a step in the right direction.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest, as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I take that, to be quite honest, to be the basic meaning of the text as it stands. But there is an interesting thing here. One great scholar pointed out what many of them agree on, that the first line of verse 38 really belongs to verse 37. Verse 37 is saying, if any man thirst, he that believeth on me, let him come unto me and drink. In other words, if any man thirst, let him come to me. He that believes, let him come. That's the general idea. Now a new line. As the scripture hath said, here's a promise from the Old Testament then, out of his belly, out of his fullness, as it were. Who is the person spoken of? One great commentator says the person is Christ. It's not speaking, he says, of the Spirit flowing out of believers. It's speaking of the Spirit flowing out of Christ, because it says the believers will receive the Spirit. Well, be that as it may, the Lord Jesus was certainly making it clear, I am the source. And if I'm on the throne, you should have the Spirit. Not individually merely, but you should have the Spirit as the church of God, flowing in rivers of fullness. Now, what's the essence of this promise? Let's take the verse as it stands in our authorized version, as speaking of believers receiving such a fullness of the Holy Spirit that he flows from them like rivers. What's the essence of the promise? You come to Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit. Is that often preached in gospel meetings nowadays? I'd be quite honest, I can't remember when last I heard a preacher stand up before a congregation of men and women and tell them if they will come to Christ, they will receive the Holy Spirit. And yet that is essential to the gospel. Here is the essence of the promise. You read John and you'll find that there's a wonderful progression. In John 3, you have Christ speaking on the new birth. And he says, you're born of water and of the Spirit. And it's not the water of baptism. Water in the Old Testament, and Christ was speaking to a master of the Old Testament, was the symbol of the purifying power of God working through his Word and Spirit. Born of water and of the Spirit. There you've got the water and the inception of spiritual life. The Holy Spirit soul working by the mighty purifying, regenerating, creative Word of God as to bring dead souls to life. Now in John chapter 4, you have Christ speaking in verse 13 to the woman at the well. And he says, he that drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoso will drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now that takes us a stage further. Here is water that is continually springing up within us. Here is the water of life that is continually flowing to our whole being, satisfying us. John 3, you've got the water and salvation. John 4, you've got salvation and satisfaction. Now John 7, he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here you've got salvation, satisfaction, and now service. You've got the overflowing fullness of the Spirit from his belly. All the commentators agree that means from his heart, from his inmost being, from his real person. Yes, that's all very true. But look at it a little more literally. Not literally, but a little more literally. The belly is the receptacle of food. It's that which we feed. And as some of us know more than others, it's that which is hard to fill. It's that which is never for too long satisfied. In fact, you remember Paul spoke of the apostates as the ones whose God was their belly. Now here's the word that the Holy Ghost is applying here. Christ is speaking, and he's saying that the Spirit of God takes Christ and he applies him to the innermost yearnings of the soul so that he fully satisfies every need of the heart. Now let me emphasize that. Jesus Christ alone can satisfy any man. You can't be saved apart from Christ, but neither can you be satisfied. You can make $1 million. Don't ever think that that would satisfy you. Some of the most miserable wretches in the world are those who thought if they could make their first million, they'd be satisfied. One of the world's richest men was asked, "What do you want? Now you've got it all." "I want just a little more." If God trusts you with riches, fine, use them for His glory. But never think that that will satisfy you. Never think that a change of surroundings and better circumstances will satisfy you. My friend, there is an aching void in the heart of a man and a woman that only Christ can satisfy. I know rich people who are very satisfied because they have Christ. I know poor people who are equally satisfied because they have Christ. I've told you before the story of a friend of mine up in Toronto, one of the elders of our Toronto church. He went to a meeting, I'm not sure if it was Amway or some of these organizations, but it was one of them. And they were motivating people to come into the program and get rich quick. And the first thing they did, he was only there really being forced by a friend. And they made them list some things that they really wanted. I mean, you've got this goal in your mind. Now, here's the way to work to it. And so they then got them to read out. One fellow wanted so much more money. Another fellow wanted a Cadillac. Another fellow wanted a nice house by the lake as a second house. Another one wanted to be able to take holidays when he liked and where he liked. And so they all went round. They were all getting worked up. And it finally came to Peter. And he's a wee fellow of about 6 feet, 6 or 7 inches, so they couldn't really look over him. And he stood up and he said, "One man is asked to have so much money. I have that. And more. One man has asked that he would have a Cadillac. I have that too. Somebody wants to be able to take holidays. I can do that when I like. Somebody wants a second house by the lake. I have it. But I want to tell you that only Jesus Christ can satisfy my soul." I was delighted with the testimony. He wasn't crowing about what he had, not at all. But so often people say, "Well, it's just sour grapes because you don't have it." It wasn't sour grapes. No, sir. He had the sweetest grapes of all, for he had the grapes from the brook of Eshcol. He is God's son and God's salvation. If you're craving, it's Christ you need. And he does satisfy. But listen, then there's an overflowing. It used to be said, I don't know why it has ever stopped being said, but it used to be said in evangelical meetings that were for deeper life and fuller life, etc., that only the overflow reaches others. How true that is. We have a race of Christians today, and they just have enough grace to struggle through. They just have enough knowledge of Christ to struggle through on their own. There's no overflowing, joyful, abundant fullness. And we blame it on television. Well, you may, if you're sitting watching it for hours. No doubt that will be part of your problem. But we blame it on television. We blame it on the hardness of the times. We blame it on the sinner. Man, it's time we got it back to our own door and realized if we were living in the overflowing fullness of God the Holy Spirit, then it would reach out to others. That's the essence of the promise.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.